Welcome back to another episode of Afternoon Delight. It's Kyle Rush. It's Ben Taylor. And we're going to talk Crouton, dadgummit. Because I tell you what, ain't going to be much for Crouton talk in July because we damn near have the whole class done. it's crazy to think about.
Yeah, I mean, there's maybe a chance, possibly in August. There may be a flip or two that are out there that we may be able to flip and once the season starts, get them on campus, get them to a game, something like that. But
yeah,
for the most part,
the heavy lifting's done.
Would you say that for the most part, like Hayes in the barn, like we're done?
90%, unless you start having a bunch of.
I was going to go higher. I'd say 95%.
I got to do the. I got to do that math. So let's see. Let's see here. What would if 27 is the final number? We got 25 divided by 27. That's 92% right there.
No, it's to split the difference between me and you right there. Yeah. Between the two of us, we can do math. How about that?
Yeah, because we could drop one and add one. Yeah. But, it's going to be tough. So we're going to talk today almost – I don't want to call it like a signing day, like preview, because signing day is a long way away and, you know, whatever. But, I mean, gosh, you got 25 commits. There's not much room left.
No.
So I want to ask you this, Ben. Mm-hmm. I want you to give the coaching staff a letter grade, and it can't be incomplete, because that's a cop out, and that's
Kyle
a total.
Kyle knows how I think.
That is 100% the direction you'll go. So this has to be an A plus, neutral or minus through F. Okay, and I want you to give the staff a grade and explain your grade so far.
So I can't give – in elementary school, we used to get E's. That stood for excellent. Can they give an E?
No, Ben. It's just – you can't give I's or U's, incomplete or unsatisfactory. It's got to be on the – I tell you what, you could give it a number grade. You make up the grading system from 0 to 100 or F to A+.
No, I'll do – we'll do letter grades because and this may shock some people, because it's going to look and they're going to – it's going to say top 10 class, and I still think we'll finish probably inside the top 10. If not, I don't see us dropping unless we just lose a bunch of players below 12 or 15 at the worst. So I'll go B+.
B+. Wow.
I'll go B+. And I think that could be upgraded in a year and a half to see how these guys shake out whenever they are on campus and out at practice. And we go, okay, that dude is what we thought he was. So with it being so early, with it being the 2027, I would have gone A or higher if it were top five. And so knowing that.
What's an A+ class to you?
Oh, A+ is top five class for sure.
Okay.
In my opinion.
And so.
I'm giving us that wiggle room of we may go, we're 8-1, we're 9-1. When all this shakes out, when December rolls around, we could possibly be 12-15. So I'm weighing that up. I'm giving the B+ because.
So you're forecasting.
I'm forecasting that we may could be out of the top 10 by December. But if we stayed in the top 10, if you asked me this question mid-December and we finish top 10 class, I'm giving it an A by far, because to come in as a new staff and sign a top 10 class, and you didn't come in like Jimbo Fisher came in from a highly touted program like Florida State and then went to Texas A&M that's got bukus of money, even under the table before NIL, they had plenty of money and were making all those upgrades and changes and all that kind of stuff to their facilities. This is a guy that came from South Florida, brought in players with him, and still managed to pull a top 10 class. As of now, pull a top 10 class. So go B+, a forecast of B+ right now, with the ability to change that weighted grade in mid-December to A. How about that? You don't like that. You know, here I am again breaking your rules, because I'm giving B+ now that can move to an A.
I need like a graphing calculator to figure that out. No, so it's just merely based off like ranking for you, like that. It's not necessarily like Auburn missed on a certain position group, or it's just based on rating.
Yeah, because it's tough for me to even. I had this argument with a buddy of mine where he was talking about, you know, what misses did we have? And I said, you know, you call them misses, but can you really call it a miss when it's a first year staff, when they're trying to pitch something that they're just now being involved in? I mean, Alex Golish has done a great job of kind of learning the quote unquote Auburn way and Auburn family. Like to bring an outsider in like that. And I said, if you think it's not hard to learn, go back a couple of years to Harsin. He didn't learn it and refused to learn it. And I think that, you know, Golish is able to look at the mistakes like that made and go, hey, I got to buy in as much as I'm asking these kids to buy in. Yeah. And I think he's done that. So I don't like to use misses in the first year. Now, after 3 years, if he works in 3 years like he's working right now, then we can talk about, man, he really missed on this one. He should have got this one. He should have got that one. But right now, I'm also, Kyle, I've also been jaded with NIL. And when somebody goes, oh, he missed. And I'm like, didn't miss. We just didn't pay him enough money.
Yeah.
Like, it's tough to say a coach misses when he literally exhausted everything he had in front of him financially, and it wasn't enough to beat out Notre Dame or Ohio State, who, you know, Notre Dame's got money we still don't know about because them being a private school, there's no telling what's being shelled out at some of those places. So I'm not a bit at this point, I'm not a big miss person, because with money involved, it's not as much of a miss. And I don't even know that it's we can't afford them. It's you got outbidded and you didn't miss. You got
an idea of what you want there, and you're thinking about the future. You're thinking about another prospect, or you're thinking about the portal and things like that. No,
I mean, because if you want to go with misses, you know, a miss, and I was reading this the other day, I forgot about it. The kid that we got, the receiver that we got that grew up an Alabama fan.
Cedric Simmons. Yeah.
Yeah. Simmons, and never got an offer from Alabama. That's a miss. Not even offering, not even making the top.
He didn't have an offer from Cedric Simmons. I thought they had a hat on the table. He did the whole switcheroo thing. Maybe I'm wrong.
Cause it was between Auburn and Penn State, wasn't it?
No, that was Deshaun Hall. Okay. If you're talking about Deshaun Hall.
Yeah. Deshaun Hall. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not Cedric Simmons.
And so that was a miss by the other school, because he grew up a Bama fan, and that wasn't even his final two. He wasn't even looking at it. So that's a miss.
Okay.
And I don't think Golish had that. I don't think he had.
So you wouldn't call Tay Walden a miss?
Was it between us and somebody, or he just didn't? He grew up.
It was us and Oregon and Ole Miss. We had a hat on the table.
Yeah, if we had a hat on tail, I wouldn't call it a miss. I'd say
probably Auburn.
I'd say if he grew up an Auburn fan and had the orange and blue and had a
– No, he's from North Carolina.
Yeah, same.
No,
same,
he's from Mississippi, sorry.
Same deal with the kid that's up in where, Ohio, that or Indiana, that's got the Bama room.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Name Bama and
– Monshon Sales.
Yeah, like that's a miss. You know,
if they don't get him, yeah.
You know what was a miss was what's his name? The linebacker that had the Auburn tattoo, Reuben Foster.
Reuben Foster.
That was a miss.
So you don't consider, like, does Auburn have a miss then?
This year, I don't think they really did miss. They may have gotten outbid on a couple, but I don't think there was anybody that they didn't see, that they didn't get in front of, or that they didn't have at least considering.
Or just had no interest whatsoever.
Yeah. So I wouldn't. No, I'd call misses like the Reuben Fosters of the world, the kid named his nickname's Bama up in Indiana. Those are misses.
You know, some would say Reuben Foster was outbid. Like Alabama outbid Auburn on Reuben
Foster. I don't disagree with that. That, you know, in the day of NIL, I do love the fact that I forgot. I think it was Cadillac Williams said that's the hardest he's ever been hit. Maybe it wasn't Cadillac. Maybe
no,
it
wasn't
else.
Cadillac, because Ruben's like 10 years old.
Maybe it was Carry On. It was somebody. A former Auburn player. Somebody asked who the hardest hitting person was, and they tweeted out. They said Reuben Foster, bar none.
I think it was Carry On. It's either Carry On or Trey Mason. I can't remember.
It was Carry On then. It wasn't Trey. Trey didn't ever tweet. It wasn't Trey.
He's back tweeting a little bit.
Oh, is he back tweeting?
A little bit. Yeah, it was definitely Carry On.
Yeah,
I remember that now.
Yeah, Carry On was
caves,
like
Reuben Foster caves face masks in.
Yeah,
he's a beast.
Yeah.
All right, so B plus. I can live with that. I'm leaning more towards. I think I'm going to go A minus. For me, A plus is a top five class, and A is going to be because a top five class, you're splitting hairs. Unless there's one team like Texas A&M, like their class is just so much better than everybody else's.
Mm-hmm.
That I mean, Notre Dame's is pretty good too, but Texas A&M, they got 6 5 stars. You know what I mean? So like, they're like an A plus plus, but you're splitting hairs after that. I mean, this is kind of crazy. The number on, if you're looking at 247, which is a points base, they have a points based system.
Yep.
The 3, 4, and 5 classes are all within decimals of each other, like decimal points of each other. So anything in the top five to me is an A plus. Anything from about 6 to 8 or 9 is probably like they're going to be about the same. And then honestly, about 10 to about 15, there's probably some pretty good comparison. Like there's not a ton of difference there either. And I would call those A minuses. So I'm going to go, okay. I think Auburn probably finishes, if I'm guessing right now, I'm going to say 12th. I think that's about where Auburn finishes. And to me, I also am trying to think of the right word. I'm also probably biased from the standpoint that I did not think we would be in the top 20. I was concerned. Oh,
I didn't, when I'm in that same boat, I didn't either.
I'm comparing. That's clogged. That is clouding my decision making a little bit because they've so far exceeded my expectations up to this point. Now, there's been some talk that like high school coaches are encouraging a lot of their kids to commit before their senior season, so that your value increases for flips after the season. So that is a big reason why all of a sudden June and July will be too, were gigantic commit seasons, because high school football starts at the end of July, basically. Practice is going to start. And
they're already out there working. They're working out on the fields at Auburn High right now.
Yeah, yeah. So,
I mean, coaches aren't present. Don't want to get anybody in trouble.
No, totally.
Volunteers.
So, you know, things could always happen. Mm-hmm. But I will say that I think Auburn this staff more than stood their ground and won some big battles. Think about some of the guys you knocked off Kirby for maybe a couple. I think knocked off Kirby for two guys. You took down, I believe, Dabo for a guy. You took down Sarkisian for a guy. You took down Notre Dame for Leighton Von Brandt. You won some big battles. And again, you got to get them moved in. Not just to the finish, not just to the signing day. You got to get them moved in and enrolled in January.
It's like through the Alabama High School Athletic Association. Now we have light and power turned on, Kyle.
Exactly. You got a light and the power turned on, and popcorn in the microwave before you can really count it. But I think I'm a little bit biased. My votes, my scale is shifted because of the exceeding the expectations.
Well, now we both said something interesting, because I said that I also feel that we'll finish between 10 and 15. You said 12.
Yeah.
I said between 10 and 15. There are going to be some fans out there and some people that listen to the show that already jump on the negative bus because we drop out of the top 10.
There's nothing negative about that whatsoever.
I know, but that's going to happen. They're going to be like, see what happened. This is Auburn being Auburn. We were in the top 10. We lost one, or we had one flip, or we did something wrong, and that's how we lost that spot.
See, I don't even think we're going to flip. I don't even think we're going to necessarily drop because of that.
Yeah.
What I think is going to happen is, like, for example, Michigan's behind us with 20 commits.
Mm.
Michigan is going to get
6 or 7.
They're going to get another 4 commits,
yeah,
and they're probably all going to be flips and be really high guys. Georgia is sitting there with 17 commits.
Yeah, you and I have talked about Georgia.
LSU has 14 commits. So there's still some work for some of these teams to be done behind us.
Yeah.
So that's my thinking. And I'm just looking at like where our current point totals would have landed us if at the final end of the year last year. Mm-hmm. And it's right around 12. Now, Auburn could add Carlos May. That'll have them jump way up. It's going to be a battle, and it may not be July 11th. It may be closer to December. But if you get that one, that's really good. You could have a couple of these guys' rankings increase. There's a couple. Deshaun Hall's one I'd watch when Rivals does their re-ranking this month. James Pace, another one. I'd watch Rivals ranking re-ranking this month. There was another one. Brylan Odor. I'd watch his rank re-ranking. Then they do another one in the football season. So there's like three or four guys that I could see taking a boost, which would just then in turn boost Auburn's ranking too. But I think 12 is a safe spot, and I think you can win at this. You could win. Auburn can win from 8 to 12. Like that's where their bread and butter's been, and I think Auburn can win there. You just got to couple it with fill your holes in the portal. So, yeah, I think that's going to be totally fine, but I agree there will be some fans that will get, you know, a little miffed probably if you don't end up in the top 10. Let me ask you this. Looking position by position, room by room, what is a position group that either I don't want to say underperformed or like what's a position group you would have liked to seen Auburn go a little bit harder at, I guess? If you can think, like if you're looking at the list or whatever.
Man, this is tough. And the reason I say this is tough, because now when we involve the transfer portal, of course, the 5-for-5 is going to change all that. Then you only get the one transfer.
We're just talking about only thing we're talking about is this high school class.
Okay.
Or you want me to give you mine and then you see what you think? I'll do that. I'll give you my pick and you tell me what you think. I love what Auburn has done in the trenches. I don't have anything to complain about. Offensive line's great. Defensive line's fantastic. You pretty much checked all the boxes there. I love your two linebackers you got. Yep. I love Chance Gilbert at safety. And then I think that Preston Williams is a great complement that could be a project for down the road. While I love the two corners that Auburn got, I love Nash Johnson. I think Nash Johnson's criminally underrated. And I think Aiden Wiggins is another one that you could put on that list of seeing your stock rise. Again, those are your only two corners. And I don't know. I feel like maybe there could have been a blockbuster guy out there that you could have gotten. But it's one of those things where you got to weigh the pros and the cons. Like, just go and get a blockbuster corner. Does that hurt you with a Reed Ramsire? And then like, what's more important? Can we just trust our evals and that allows us to go get a more elite trench player? I mean, that's the conversations they're having. You know what I mean? Like that's what they're talking about. So corner is probably the only one where I'm like, could have done a little bit more there, maybe. But I ain't mad at it, you know. I think that both of those guys may end up being just as good as anybody you've added in the class, pound for pound.
Yeah. I'll stay on the defensive side of the football, because first, I know you said you like the trenches. I'm one of those that never, I think you can never have too many defensive linemen. I would like one
Carlos
more.
Carlos May sets it off.
Would it? Another defensive lineman. I'm always big on linebackers, and I call them the quarterback of the defense. And so if you can get a guy that's physically gifted as well as mentally gifted that can, you know, can read, can coach other guys that are out there on the field. Now, I like what we have. I'm just saying I don't ever think you can have too many, because if you got them stacked back to back to back, then you got guys that are teaching other guys how to perform the next year. So would have loved to have seen Carlos May would finish that off defensive line-wise if that happens.
Yeah.
So would have loved to see another defensive lineman, another inside backer, somebody on the inside as far as a backer. You said you love the safety. I'm one that, in case that safety can also be a nickel too. So I wouldn't mind having another safety as well.
There you go.
So So I'll go with three. I'll go with defensive lineman, which May could fix, linebacker inside, not a true middle guy. Yeah. And then another safety that you can use, not just as a safety, but you can bring him in certain packages in certain situations.
Does the fact that this system only plays two linebackers at a time, does that bother you? Does that make you rethink anything?
No, because I think they're going to move them, and I think they're going – from what I've seen, too, they're pretty good about not just constantly getting after it with defensive end. Like, you may see a defensive end kind of drop into coverage, which would basically be an outside linebacker. I mean, if you're going to go that route. If they start getting gashed in the middle, they may change their mind on that.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this. This will be the last thing I ask you. Which player in this class would you trust the most driving your pontoon boat?
Narcisse Ngoy.
In the Mediterranean Sea.
In the Mediterranean Sea.
Purely basketball.
And listen, that's flat out sight unseen. He's never seen one. So. No. That's a lot.
Which guy do you think has the most experience with a pontoon boat and then could handle the sea that is the Mediterranean?
Oh, it's gotta be an offensive lineman. Has got the most. So take your pick out of the offensive lineman that we signed.
What's the lake? Isn't there a lake around Gadsden?
Gunnersville around Gadsden. Smith Lake's up around Huntsville.
Who lives closest to a lake? Let's look through this thing. Rance Brown. I think he's originally from Gadsden.
You know as well as I do, an offensive lineman is driving a pontoon. They may actually fix the motor on the pontoon boat.
What is this lake right there? There's a lake. It's the Coosa River. What is this lake right here that you got to cross to get into Gadsden? I feel so dumb.
I think it's Gunnersville Lake. Lake Gunnersville.
No, see, that's actually in Gunnersville. I think it's a little bit further. Maybe a little bit further north. I don't know, dude. We're getting into geography again, and that's not my
lakes
bag.
Are not geography. We're not doing that. That's a body of water.
Alabama geography. Nah, dude. Lake Gunnersville's up there. It's not Gunnersville. In the chat, it's not Gunnersville. What lake is right around Gadsden? I can't find it. I can't figure it out. It's not even really a huge lake now that I look at it.
I'm asking, you got a guy trying to explain stuff to me, and if you're watching on YouTube, he's wearing a damn pullover, and it's 100 degrees outside.
It's a vest, okay? And it's breathable. It just says Coosa River. I don't know. But I'm still going with Rance Brown. That's what I'm going with.
Rance Brown, it is by far.
Rance Brown could drive a pontoon boat from the Mediterranean Ocean back to America.
There's no doubt.
There's no doubt about it.
Lance Brown probably builds pontoon boats on the side. You know what? If you don't like that, you can go play at Missouri for Eli Drinkwitz.
Yeah. If you didn't laugh at that, you can just – Hit you next.
You go play for Eli Drinkwitz.
You go play for Eli Drinkwitz. That's the safest thing to say. Oh my gosh.
That has turned out to be an inside joke that'll never get old. Especially since, like you said, the guy's gonna win 10 games this year. So
he is. He's gonna
the fact that we're bashing on the guy that's gonna win 10 games is pretty bad.
I know.
That's all right. He's got a punchable face. How about that?
That's fair. Yeah. Neely Henry Lake. If you put a boat in Neely Henry Lake, tell me about it in the comments.
You finally found it?
Yeah. Took me a while. I hope that's right because I was really passionate about it. Guys, we're going to get the heck out of here before we say something stupid. Let us know what you think. What would you grade this recruiting class? If you're a member of the premium on YouTube, you can do that.
Yeah.
If you're not, I don't know how you tell us. Just tweet at us. You could mail it to Ben.
No, please don't give him out.
His address is. Y'all take care. We're going to get out of here. War Eagle.
War damn Eagle.